It was like this morning when the Spirit moved on God's people in this building, the whole place shook. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to serve you. Thank you for allowing us to even speak your name. We invite your presence here now as we open your word. I pray that the message you've given me to deliver will be delivered according to your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I preached about who's got your ear, and I was going to talk about that this morning, but yesterday afternoon I was baking cookies for today, thinking about it, praying about it. People wonder how you can be instant in prayer and be constant in prayer and always be praying. You can do it. You can do that all the time by just communing with God. We're going to be talking about that. But I felt inspired to speak about something else, about being interrupted. Sometimes God interrupts us. If you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. Because I promise you, he's going to interrupt you with his own plans. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." And so sometimes we have all kinds of plans, but you know what? Sometimes God interrupts those plans because he says, "I got something else in store for you." Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it." So sometimes we're going to go in the wrong direction, but we need to be listening. That's why we need to be in prayer. We need to be hooked in to the mind of God. We need to be listening. We need to shut out the clamor of the world. All the distractions. You know, people say, let's bow our head in prayer. You know that if you look in the Bible, Jesus didn't bow his head. He looked heavenward. We don't need to bow our head as much as we need to bow our heart. We need to be shut off from the distractions around us. That's the way the term bow your head. It's to shut your eyes so you're not distracted by what's going on around you. But when you're hooked in to the source of life, you don't need to worry about that. You can be driving in your car. When you pray in your car, you don't bow your head, do you? I hope not. I've seen some people, I think they were doing that though. In Matthew 7:13-14, I hope you have your Bibles with you today. We're going to be going through a few texts. I'm not going to wear everybody out. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." You will notice that every big city, practically every big city, at least in the United States, has what? A broad way. In New York, they call it the Great Broad Way. In Los Angeles, they have a broad way. Every town I have ever lived in has a broad way. Now, there's no broad way in Hawaii that I've seen, but I have never seen a street called the narrow way. Now, when I lived in Venice, California, there was a street down the road from us called Short Avenue. And I was on Short Avenue, and some of us have been on Short Avenue in our life. And most of us, at one time or another, have been on the broad way, but we have chosen the narrow way, and that's why we're here today. The Bible says, "This is the way, the narrow way, walk in it. Who do you acknowledge today? Do you acknowledge the world and the joys? You know, let's be truthful. Sin is fun, but it don't last long. But the effects of it would last for eternity if you're living in it. But when you turn from it, you have life eternal because you've chosen the narrow way. People that live according to the world, you know, we look in the book of Matthew and we see all these tragedies and calamities that are coming upon the world. And let me tell you something. The time that we have to live is short. We can't waste any time. We need to be about our Father's business. I remember when I first became an Adventist, my friend Art Wilson told me, he says, I want you to take, I was living in Carson City. He says, Bill, I want you to take my motorhome. Hey, that sounds good. Nice motorhome. He says, I want you to take it and I want you to drive to Hobble Creek, Utah. And I go, why would you want me to do that? And he says, because there's a camp meeting there and I want you to go listen to the guy that's speaking. Now, I had never been in a Seventh-day Adventist church until I got baptized. I hounded the warden at Nevada State Prison in Carson City. I hounded him for months to go out and be baptized. And finally, he assigned two guards to me. They took me to the church, and I was baptized. I'd never been in a Seventh-day Adventist church, but I knew the message, and I knew it was the truth, and I wanted to be part of the Seventh-day Adventist movement. Never been to a service, never heard a sermon in a Seventh-day Adventist church. Knew nothing. But I was so excited when I went and they had that lunch and the guards were too. They said, man, if you ever come back, we'd like to come with you. After the potluck, they went back to the church and they had an afternoon program because they knew that I was on my way back to the prison. I talked to one of the ladies in that church just the other day. It was her 92nd birthday, 92 years old. She's still spry, Margie Akins. I said, Margie, I just wanted to call and wish you a happy birthday and tell you one of the reasons that I'm still a member of this church after over 30 years is because of the love you showed me in Carson City. And so anyway, I tell Art, who's this guy that's preaching? He says, his name is HMS Richards. Well, I've never heard of that guy. He says, you're never going to forget it. He told me how to get to Hobble Creek, Utah. I took off in the motorhome. He preached night after night. I didn't miss a thing. I sat right on the front row. And night after night, the message was the same thing. Jesus is coming, and we're sleeping. We need to wake up and let people know. Souls are perishing because we're sitting in the church saying, well, I got mine. Now you go figure out how to get yours. That's not the message that Jesus has given us. Now, Larry and I've been at KCIF for several years now, and I've preached many times on the Sabbath, on the Ten Commandments, and every time I do, people call and complain. I say, praise the Lord, they're listening. And the lady that actually invited these two Messianic Jews had formerly been a Seventh-day Adventist. Did you know that, Larry? Yeah. And so she invited these guys to speak, and she is against the Seventh-day Adventist church. She says, we're all a bunch of legalists. They told me that one time, and I said, do you believe that you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved? And they said, yes. And I said, well, then you're the legalist. You're using a subjective experience to determine your salvation. It doesn't work that way. Read the book of Ephesians and Galatians. Well, anyway, these guys talked. They had two different spots, two-hour programs. They spoke on the law. They spoke on the sanctuary. And they spoke on the Sabbath. One of the girls that had been the DJ there for a long time and also our assistant treasurer, and Larry and I had talked to her a little bit about it. We don't grind it on people. We just tell them, study the Bible. She says, man, when I heard those guys, she says, I asked my pastor, why do we worship on Sunday when the Bible says the seventh day? And she says, he couldn't give me an answer out of the Bible. And so I took a catechism book. I says, read page 4. She's now keeping the Sabbath. We need to lovingly expose people to God's truth. How's your journey this morning? Has God interrupted your journey? You had planned on being a rock star or some great thing in life, but the Lord says, no, I got something else for you. I want you to come and I want you to serve me. Proverbs 14:12. Back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 14:12. Right over here. Says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of a good time, the ways of excitement, the ways of the great broad way. It's the ways of death. Sometimes you may think you're going in the right direction, but if you're listening to the voice behind you that says, no, this is the way, walk ye in it, because the way you're going is the wrong way. You can't let the clamor and the excitement of the world drown out that still small voice. Now, I have one of my favorite preachers is Walter Pearson Jr. And Walter, he's a black preacher, and he gets excited. And man, he starts preaching the word. And the people get excited. Now we have a fellow that comes on at Breath of Life. His name is Bird. And he gets excited. And he gets the people excited. And you know what? We need to get excited. We're not excited enough. You know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has the truth, but we don't necessarily have the joy. Now, I preach in the Nazarene Church. We've been there singing a couple of times. I preach in other churches. They don't have the truth, but they got the joy. If this ever gets together, we're going to set the world on fire with the Adventist message. We need to wake up, folks. Souls are perishing out there because we're on the narrow way and we're kind of crowding everybody else off of it. Drag them on. Bring them with you. Sometimes we need to stop and check the direction of our life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Take a look at your life. Take a look at the things that you use for entertainment. Take a look at how you spend the Sabbath. Take a look at your conversation. Ephesians says everything that we say should be uplifting and ennobling. We shouldn't be grumbling and complaining. You know, sometimes there's people in the church, you just want to say hi. You don't want to say how are you, because they back their truck up and they unload it on you. Well, you know, my wife ran off with the plumber. My car broke down, and now I'm being evicted from my house, and my dog ran away, and I'm out of a job. Can you help me? Where do you start? So sometimes it's better just to say, hey, you know, have a nice Sabbath. Sometimes there's nothing you can do for people except what we just did a while ago, and that's pray for them. I can't move everybody into my house. I can't give everybody a car to drive. I can't get their wife to come back. And I don't know where their dog went. So there are just some things you cannot do to help people. And there are some people, the more help you give them, it seems like the more help they seem to need. That's a trouble with the welfare system. There are people that need help. But there are people that abuse the system just like they abuse everything else. You got third and fourth generations of families that are on the public roll, and they've ruined their life because they've gotten so used to getting everything for free, they don't want to have to go out and do anything for themselves. And then when they don't get everything they want or they get cut off from certain things, they complain bitterly and they want to protest. I've had people come up to me and say, do you have any spare change? What's spare change? I've never had any spare money. All my money goes to a designated place, and that is to pay my bills and to help support the work of the Lord. I don't have any spare money. Sometimes people just got to get a job. You know, Walter Pearson said one time, if you need a job, you got to go where the jobs are. You can't sit on your couch and stare at your phone and say, well, man, somebody's going to call me and give me a job. God feeds the birds, but he don't throw the worms in their nest, right? They got to go get them. And when we want something in this life, we got to go get it. And that includes salvation. We got to go get it. You know, the word listen has the same letters in it as the word silent. Sometimes in order to listen, we need to be silent. You learn a lot more with your mouth closed than you do with your mouth open. So sometimes we just need to be still and hear God's voice. And you can't let all the clamor and all the stuff going on around you distract you from hearing that voice. I can hear God's voice when I'm on my lawnmower out in my backyard, mowing my yard. Because I'm talking to him. I'm hooked up. I'm in communion with God. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. You're never going to know how Jesus thinks until you hear him speak. And you're never going to hear him speak until you open his word. And you're never going to get any better than that unless you read and study his word. That doesn't mean, now the conference has sent this thing out a couple weeks ago. They said we try to read through our Bible once a year. Well, that's nice. It's not about reading anything. It's about the study. It's about going into the depths of his word. I'll just give you a text just right off the top of my head here. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. That tells me we need to humble ourselves before the God of the universe, and he will give us wisdom, and he will give us instructions, and he will tell us how to stay on the narrow way. You know, sometimes when you're going through this life, things seem to come against you. You know what? That can be a good thing. Because if you're going on the Broadway, everybody's going the same way you are. Nobody's going to be coming against you. Nobody's going to be saying anything about you. We need to listen, and not just hearing, but paying attention and apply the things we hear into our life. To hear simply means you're acknowledging a noise. Sometimes my wife goes to the other end of the house and she's trying to carry on a conversation with me. And she says, do you hear me? Yeah, I hear you, but you're not listening to me. And sometimes we do the same thing. We read the Bible and we kind of hear it, but we're not really listening and paying attention. Mark Twain says, few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. Sometimes when you're a good example, people get irritated with you. You ever notice that? They get a little impatient. It happens to my wife all the time where she works. She's been there 20 years, and she tries to help those people that she works with. She tries to keep God's word alive in her workplace. Heaven goes by favor, if it went by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in. Because if we don't have the merit of Jesus, we will never be in heaven. We have no merit. We have no righteousness of our own. We are nothing. We are broken clay. We are broken vessels. And unless we are filled with God's Spirit, we wouldn't be comfortable in heaven, and we certainly wouldn't be there to begin with. Don't be so concerned what others are doing or saying. If God wanted you to be like them, he would give you what he gave them. He gives us all different things. We look at people and we say, oh, they're such a great movie star. Oh, they're so beautiful. Oh, they sing so well. Hey, you know what? You don't need to covet anything that anybody else has, because God has things for you. Just because they're not the same as what he gives other people, you don't need to worry about that. He's got something better in store for you. You know, to be like Jesus, we need to read his word. We need to listen to his voice. And pay attention. We need to be influenced by God's word. In Luke 22, verse 41. Luke 22, verse 41. Says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, my will, but thine be done. Even Jesus needed to go away by himself and be alone with his Father. Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, because it says in 1 John, all things were created by him. If the Creator needed to go away from the clamor of the world and go away from his friends, what about us? Don't we need to sometimes go away? You know, years ago, we had what was called the Ohana groups. It was groups of 12. We had about 15 or 20 in our group. We had a big Ohana group. And one of the exercises of the Ohana group, we went to Oahu one time, and I had a friend over there. His name is Alan, and he'd done a little federal time in Lompoc. And so I'd known Alan for years. His mother was actually one of the ladies that brought me into the church. And so one of the exercises that we had at this particular Ohana group was we all had a lunch, and we would go out by ourselves, and we would spend an hour alone with our Bible, with our lunch, and with our Savior. And we would read, we'd eat our lunch, we would pray. Well, every time Alan would find a good text, he saw where I was. He'd come. We weren't supposed to do this, but he'd come over and he'd go, man, I got this text. And he'd read a text, and he'd go sit down a little while. I'd see a good one. Oh, man, I got to share this with Alan. And I'd go around, hey, Alan, check this one out. We spent an hour like that, an hour alone with God in fellowship, with God in fellowship with somebody that knew what we had gone through in our life. What a beautiful experience that was. And so now when I go out and I work in my yard, I'm always talking to the Lord, and it's so easy to do. I got one more text, Matthew 26, verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. I want to read verse 38 first. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Stay with me and pray with me, he says. Wait right here. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, praying, saying, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Even Jesus needed that time alone. Our pastors are on this retreat. It's called a revelation retreat they're on. I don't know where they're going. They didn't tell me. They probably didn't want to have me tell everybody, and people show up, right? So they're going alone to strengthen each other in the faith. And sometimes we need to come along and strengthen one another in the faith. We need to lift each other up. We need to encourage each other, but we need to spend time alone with God. You will never know the mind of Jesus. You'll never know how he thinks until you read how he lived his life and what he has planned for us. We're singing a different song for the closing, 623.